Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, and speaking of a dream, here is a dream I had about President Obama last night.
Well, I should say at the outset that Savage is a friend, so I may be a little biased here. I don't know all the facts, but I think it's fair to say, number one, any of us would be pretty angry. Number two, that Cambridge acted stupidly.
Well, you heard of photoshopping. I guess this would be audio shopping, and I apologize to the president for this. It's all in good taste. I only wish the president were fair-minded enough to step in on this and say those words, but I'll have to leave that for my dreams. There's another chapter in this astonishingly funny story of Cambridge canceling my appearance, and I have to tell it to you. I know that you think it's self-indulgent, but at the risk of your displeasure, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I think it's a big enough story for me to follow it up today, because something else happened that's so insulting it's unbelievable. And I mean insulting to the Cambridge Union. Yesterday they sent us a letter, which I will post on my website, which said, we are going to cancel the event. Then they go on and say, we came to the reluctant conclusion that the entire event cannot proceed, meaning the debate was over. Today, we found out that was a lie, that the kids at the Cambridge Union, the inheritors of the Battle of Britain, the inheritors of Winston Churchill's England, these kids at Cambridge not only lied in the letter to me, but they lied to a reporter in England when they said that we're going to have the event without Michael Savage, after telling me they were canceling the whole event. And I said to you, frankly, that they have given themselves a black eye. They've given themselves a black eye. I mean, what do you think this is? They're afraid of the truth? That's what it comes down to. The only reason they don't want me there is because they fear freedom of speech as much as Obama does in the United States of America. Obama will not debate with his critics, neither will they. And when it comes right down to it, left-wingers would rather just dictate, not debate. They would rather dictate, not debate. And I would have owned them, by the way, on any level. They could have put four people against me or six, and I would have owned every one of them. The answer is simple, and I'll tell you why. It's not because I'm so great or so smart. Because when the big guy fights the little guy usually wins because he has more at stake. And make no mistake about it. I'm the little guy. They're a nation. They're the big guy. I'm the little guy. I'm right and they're wrong. And they're covering up for Gordon Brown, who you're going to find out very shortly is hiding in his bunker, the way a certain German did in the last days of World War II, hiding in his bunker in England. And this morning, it's been a very long day for me again. I was up at 4 in the morning, and I did an interview not too long ago with a newspaper in England. Only one newspaper was interested in why this debate was canceled. I guess they're all under the lock of Fox. I guess the tentacles spread farther than you would believe. They spread from Hong Kong to London. But one newspaper man did interview me, and I actually, I'm ashamed to tell you, I forgot the name of the paper. Beowulf, what was it? The Telegraph UK, and it's an interesting interview. We're going to play a little bit of it for you because we recorded the phone conversation as we were doing it. But the fact of the matter is, let's be realistic here. Let's be very realistic here. You and I both know that although these kids at Cambridge inherited a great debating society, they have no idea what it is they've done to the reputation of the Cambridge Union Society, nor the debating society. I think they've lost their way. I think that they have no concept of history, and they have no concept of shame. In other words, they're the ultimate new man created by the socialist Brown administration. And if you think we're far behind here, wait until you hear the interview I have to play very shortly that I did with the reporter from England who tells us what has happened. Came here, I appeared here in America first. I didn't hear England. And turned it into basically a lockdown like a jail. Do you care to comment on the whole entire Cambridge cancellation of Michael Savage? What did the socialist Brown regime fear, I might say, during the debate? What do you think they're hiding from the general public that would have been exposed? What do you think they wish to hide about what they did to me, an innocent American broadcaster? And why is this the biggest story of censorship in the Western world? The biggest story of censorship in the Western world being buried by Fox News. And moreover, well, moreover is up to you. And I'm going to talk about this and other news right here in the Savage Nation. There's a new article out on WorldNet Daily, which we posted on michaelsavage.com, that I think you have to read. I'm sorry. If you're interested in the truth, if you're interested in free speech, if you're interested in any of these things, you have to read the article. Because the new article on WND says the Cambridge Union Society apparently plans to hold a debate next week on political correctness without Michael Savage, despite informing the talk radio host producer yesterday that the entire event had been canceled. Savage, who has been banned from entry to the UK along with Muslim terrorists, was scheduled to speak October. You know the whole story, right? Do I have to tell you the whole story? Or would you rather not hear it? Now, here are some clips of what real debating is when it is conducted honestly in clip number two. Listen to this.
Now, when the debate is held in the country, people will choose our policies and reject theirs.
I tell you what, find a bit of courage, discover a bit of bottle, get in your car, go down to Buckingham Palace and call that election. Yeah!
I believe that all parties have an interest in sorting this out.
If he feels that strongly, he should come and debate these issues.
Yes, he really should. Yes, the man is hiding in the bunker with the Valley of the Dolls. He's down there in the Valley of the Dolls, Gordon Brown. Now, that is the Britain that I grew up respecting. That's the Britain that I always admired. That's the Britain that I actually thought still existed. But apparently, the snots at Cambridge don't even know their own history. And if you think it's limited to Britain, you're mistaken. The very same fraudulent attempts at debate exist here in the United States of America. As you can see, the Democrats do not debate with Republicans. They try to force legislation through. And those people, the empty lipstick, let's leave it at that, the folks on Fox News, the fakers on Fox News who wrap themselves in the flag, if you think I'm the only one who sees what they're doing, you're mistaken. Listen to what Pastor David Manning has to say about the fake hosts on Fox News. And believe me, he's not too far from them. He has a church up in Harlem. Go, David. Let's hear it.
Hey, Hannity, why don't you have Michael Savage on? Just once a year. Just one time a year. Just have Michael Savage on one time a year. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it because that's not what they want. They don't want the truth out there. They can't handle the truth. They don't want it out there. Bring Michael Savage on.
I love it. You know, I'm not alone. I admit that I'm an outcast in the media. I admit it. But you know something? I think people are starting to catch on to the fact that there's something bigger here at play. There's even a black rap group that did a rap song that we found called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Beowulf, did you get that forwarded to you last night? Joe Farris sent it to me. Did you see that one from YouTube? Oh, we got to get that one ready. It's amazing. I happen to think that there's a whole mental revolution going on in America because I truly believe that black people know that liberals are their worst enemy. I absolutely, in my heart of hearts, believe that intelligent black people understand that liberals treat them as inferiors and only use them for their own purposes. And they're catching on to what's actually going on amongst some of us here in the United States of America. At the end of the day, I couldn't be happier. As I said to you yesterday, in the fifth grade, there was a class election in the Bronx, fourth or fifth grade. I won. I was made president of the class. Immediately, the teacher called the election off. She said, "This election is canceled. Michael cannot be president. I don't like him. The election is called off. We're going to hold another election, and Michael Savage cannot run for the presidency. So what's new under the sun? I'll be right back."
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about all the topics of the day. It'll be all the news of the day because, frankly, I think I've said everything I want to say about my situation in Cambridge, them canceling me and not the event. It's a big news story. It's put egg on their face. Doesn't make me happy to say it. I've always admired the English people. I think that the country has fallen into disrepair to an extent I don't even know if the conservatives who will soon take power can save the country. In fact, I heard today that they're not much different than the socialist liberals. Almost identical story to what's going on here in America, where the Republicans are really Democrat light. There's not much difference between the two parties, is there, as you could see. So we can talk about that and all the other news of the day. And there's an awful lot of news of the day. Trust me, it's endless what Obama's doing to this country. He's dismantling every aspect of this country is being dismantled. Let's start at the top. There's a character named Sunstein whose name belies the darkness in his soul. Sunstein is Darknessstein. Sunstein is an outright socialist slash communist who has been made regulatory czar of the United States of America. Sunstein actually said that the reason white people do not want various bills passed is because they're racist. Sunstein, who is a white liberal, says that the only reason people are opposed to Obamacare is because it will benefit black people and Hispanic people more than white people. Now, if that's not the most racist thing you've ever heard in your life, I'd like to know what is. But remember who it's coming from. It's not coming from a Reverend Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. It's coming from a white communist. And I've told you for years that the white communists use black people and Hispanic people and other minorities specifically to advance the communist agenda. I've said that from day one. Now, it would be bad enough if they were only inside the ACLU, which is a criminal organization as far as I'm concerned. The ACLU, if there was a real conservative American government, would investigate the ACLU and see where their money came from. But they're not going to be investigated. They're running this country. They put half the regulatory czars in their positions. They've come through the ACLU gatekeepers. The fact of the matter is, Sunstein is an outright socialist slash communist. If you read his books from 05, 06, 07, and his papers, he's now in the White House, not in a low-level position, but in a major league position as regulatory czar. So I want to talk about these things as well, believe me. Let's go to the callers. Mick, WOR, thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Michael, they cannot debate you because if it's on political correctness, that's the exact reason you were banned from England. And who are they going to put up against you? Obviously, they had to hear your radio programs. And now you're in there, and this will only hinder them if your legal case ever goes to trial.
Right.
So there's no possible way that they can do.
Well, they're trying to weasel out now, Mick. You know what they're saying is they're saying I demanded too much money in terms of technical hookups, which is a complete lie because we sent our letters that we sent to Cambridge a week, 2 weeks ago actually said you don't have to spend £5,000 as you are suggesting. We'll show you how to do it for less money. We actually came up with less expensive equipment for them, Mick. They're completely lying about the whole thing.
System. They constantly lie. Lying is the basis for liberalism because there's no truth in liberalism.
I think you're right. But look at these kids at Cambridge, supposedly the next generation of leaders in England. Look how glibly they lie and think they can get away with it when their own letters to me, their own emails, show them to be absolute liars.
Michael, they're pressured. They have no choice. I believe that there are conservatives in England, but I don't believe they're allowed to surface. Because if they do, they will be chastised the same way conservatives are chastised in all our schools today. Because
well, look, at the end of the day, Mick, look, all that matters to me right now is that I did the best I could. When they invited me, I said yes. I try to accommodate them with a video hookup at a cheaper rate than they suggested. They said they would do it, and then they canceled. And now yesterday they sent an email saying they're canceling the whole debate. Did you hear that, Mick? Now today they said they're holding the debate without me. Can you believe they would lie in writing like that?
But that's very simple. Didn't they also do that in our own Congress when Al Gore was debating cap and trade, when the professor that you had on your show from England, who's an expert.
Oh, Monkford, Professor Monkford.
They stopped him at the airport and said, you can't debate because you were too knowledgeable.
Oh, my God. So we're entering a world of all lies and deceit. Everything is a lie and a deceit. How do we win the country back if we're facing liars like this?
It's very simple. Well, it's not as simple as you say, but as I said to you before when we were talking about the corruption on Wall Street, Goldman and the rest, when I was on one of your segments, well, actually two segments, the only way to do it is not a third party, as you originally were thinking about. Your thought has come to me that a third party line with minimum amount of people to put on that line, whether it be Republican or Democrat, constitutionalists. That is the only way. The second way is for every parent that has a son or daughter in uniform to have their sons and daughters sign the loyalty oath that they don't follow a president, they follow the Constitution of the United States. It's time to wake up and families sit at the table and discuss what is going on and what our Constitution is and what American history truly is.
Do you think that Bonnie Frank cares about American history? Do you think Charles Schumer cares about American history? Do you think Charles Rangel cares about American history? These people care only about how much they can rip off from the taxpayer base. I got to move, Mick. God bless you and everybody else. When I come back, I'm going to play for everybody in the Savage Nation the interview I did this morning with London.
Savage.
Before I play the interview from this morning with James Dellingpole of the UK Telegraph, it's of interest to you. You'll enjoy the interview because it was on the phone and I was a little fresher than I am right now. I got to tell you something. You know, I'm a trained scientist. I'm not Einstein, but I do have a real PhD from a great university. I've written scientific papers across the years, which is more than most in the media can boast. And I got to tell you, global warming is the biggest myth. Man-induced global warming is the biggest myth of our age. Many hundreds of reputable climate scientists hold this position. Most of the fraud artists who receive government grants are pushing the idea that man is inducing global warming. But I got to tell you, this is now turning out to be one of the coldest winters on record. The ice melt in the Antarctic is the lowest in 30 years. And NASA, an agent of the Obama administration, is downplaying the Antarctic snow record that is now at a very, very high level. In other words, the ice melt is the lowest in 30 years. Al Gore will not debate this. Al Gore will not debate the big lie. And do you know that Al Gore recently, 2-3 weeks ago, received a loan of almost $500 million of your money? Al Gore was given $500 million of your money as a, quote, loan to create a hybrid car company to build cars, not in America, but I believe in Norway. Do you understand the kind of robbery that is going on right under your nose? Do you understand what is at stake in terms of the biggest criminals in our life are now robbing us blind? Sharon, Washington, D.C., go ahead, please.
Michael, you are the beating heart of this nation. You are independent and you are fierce. When you pump like this, as if for your own survival, it pumps blood to the rest of us. You're making us alive, and don't you doubt it for one minute. And, you know, England didn't care about freedom 300 years ago. They're not going to care now. I don't see why you waste your time on them. We need you.
Wow. England didn't care about freedom 300 years ago. Why waste your time? Maybe you're right. Maybe I've misinterpreted England. I always thought it was a free country. And maybe I was wrong from the beginning. I know what they did to the Irish. I know the history of the oppression of the Irish people. I know how they treated the black people around the globe when they were an empire, what they did to people in the colonies. But I tend to, you know, put aside the past, because every nation has a dark past. Every nation on earth has a horrendous past. But I guess they haven't even learned their lesson of what they did to people. Thanks for the kind words. Ice melt on the world's coldest continent was the lowest in 30 years, according to the writer Chelsea Schilling on WorldNet Daily. Ice melt on the world's coldest continent was the lowest, meaning the amount of ice that was melting, was the lowest in 30 years last year, according to new research. Where was it published? In the Journal of Geophysical Research Letters. It was not published in the Huffington Post. They only publish lies and rubbish put out by the Hague. The Hague publishes lies. The Washington Hague, who got her name by marrying into money. The Hague, who married into the name. The Hague. The Hague publishes lies. But the truth is published in the scientific journals. Journal of Geophysical Research Letters, published by a research scientist at the Joint Center for Earth Systems Technology, cooperatively managed by NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. So the top of the heap says that a 30-year minimum Antarctic snowmelt record occurred during Austral summer 2008-09, meaning the ice stopped melting. Did you hear this? How come Al Gore will not look at this, at the graph? The graph goes back to 1980, and it shows the amount of melting of the ice pack in the Antarctic. Instead, they scare your children. They show polar bears adrift on an ice floe. They tell your child the polar bears are dying because of mean white Republicans. They're brainwashing your children. And now you understand what the truth is and why real debate is dying in the United States of America. Why evil villains like Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and that entire pack of villainous Democrats will not debate any subject whatsoever. They do everything in the darkness hidden under a rock. Right now, I want to play for you a segment with James Dellingpole from this morning on the phone, UK Telegraph. Fire away. When this first occurred, I was swarmed by the BBC, Sky News, and all the others for interviews. And even though we told them the Cambridge debate had been canceled, not one organization called for my side of the thing except yourself. Not one. It would be laughable if it wasn't so dangerous. I mean, but here's the issue. They're very dangerous for hiding their own activities and lying about them and not understanding that we just caught them again. And through discovery, he found the entire email chain, which includes that reference to one of the minions of the administration saying, but wait a minute, this guy never caused any violence, never provoked it. The other one says, yeah, we know that, but either the foreign minister or the prime minister wants this kind of wants this type on the list. That's what he said. They want this type on the list. Now, is that a code word for something that I don't know about in British speak?
Well, no, it's not. I think it's just simply a euphemism for they wanted somebody who wasn't a Muslim, basically.
To balance the list.
We all thought so at the time. We all thought this was absolutely balmy. I think, even in the liberal press, I don't think anyone. You had letters of support in the Guardian, didn't you?
Totally. Yes. And when they ran a poll, it was 80-20 saying, you know, Savage doesn't belong on that list. I mean, I want to conclude with something that people don't understand. My name is now linked with murderers and terrorists. Never mind people with volatile speech. They linked me with a man, a Hamas man, who was in prison for 9 years in Israel for killing two parents, then finding their hidden baby, pulling her out of a crawl space, and smashing in her head with a rifle butt. What in the world does a talk show host have to do with any of that?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good question. Yeah.
Well, we know what this is all about, and it's frightening to think that England is now controlled by people who would overthrow the government, introduce Sharia law, and frankly, take over the entire country. Don't they realize what's going on?
I mean, what would happen if you came over here?
Well, I would suppose they'd stop me at the border. I mean, stop me at the airport, turn me away. But I have a plan up my sleeve. I'm getting really angry. You know, I could go to the Republic of Ireland, couldn't I? And go to the border and hold a monster press conference with 1,000 listeners who fly in with me, filling 2 airplanes. And then get some of the Irish with beer mugs. We could just have a great time and hold our debate with loudspeakers across the border like the old Iron Curtain.
Are you going to do that?
Well, when the time is right, I'm threatening to do it. I had listeners cancel visits to England. I had one listener, and we have his letter, which we can send it to you. He canceled $10 million in orders of machinery made in Britain for his bakery because he feels so strongly, he's an immigrant, about freedom of speech. He was so appalled that he canceled factory orders of $10 million worth of factory orders from a British factory. People don't understand this is having ramification without my provoking it. I have listeners, and many of them are affluent. They travel, they buy cars, etc., and they really are angry. Apparently I can't travel to Britain. Apparently my video image can't appear in Britain. I wonder, will they burn my book Banned in Britain when it arrives on the shores of your nation?
No, they won't.
But... are you sure Fahrenheit 451, it won't be operational?
I'm sure you'll be. There may be a ban on Michael Savage, but there's no ban on Michael Savage's books coming over.
I don't know. After all, these are the snoops. Incidentally, you would think a British publisher would be interested in the rights, wouldn't you? Because, after all, there's a lot of interest in this subject. I haven't heard from any of them.
The whole, in America you've got Regnery.
Well, hold it. I'm sorry to tell you, this used to be true. Remember, I've had 4 New York Times bestsellers in a row. Not one New York publisher will touch this new book banned in Britain. So you say things have shifted in your country. Fox News has moved to where CNN was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, my God.
You watch it. They've got guys on there who are absolute liberals, like this guy Shep Smith came out the other day in favor of Obamacare, right on the Fox News network, arguing with a Republican senator saying it would be wonderful, a public option.
Mm.
So they're moving rapidly to the other side. In order to accommodate what they think is a moving tide, but they're wrong. Every poll in America shows us that conservatives are in the majority in every state of America. Every poll that's just come out. The only difference is the media, and as you know, the politicians are on the other side of the aisle. Well, I don't know. It's a terrible situation right now, and I'm very sad that the Cambridge Union would give themselves such a black eye because this will be remembered. They have to remember what they did here. Future generations, should there still be freedom of speech in your country 50 years from now, and I pray there is, they're going to look back on this and say, how did that generation let themselves be led into that position to ban a man from speaking that they had invited under the guise of technical difficulties, which are false?
We can just pray that this is the... I mean, it is. Have you seen that film Downfall about the last days of Hitler? Gordon Brown is like Hitler in Downfall in his bunker. He's falling to pieces. He's screaming at people. His whole government is in disarray. People don't want to be in his cabinet anymore because he's just such a nutcase.
Oh, really? Oh, it's down to that? It's him and Eva Braun, huh?
Oh, it's absolutely.
Well, look, on that terrible note, I think we better stop.
It's really been good talking to you, Dr. Savage.
I appreciate it.
Savage.
Well, let me say a couple of things. One is that it is pretty obvious that Bill O'Reilly has shifted gears greatly on the matter of Barack Hussein Obama. Number two, it appears that Sean Hannity also has shifted gears on the whole matter of Barack Hussein Obama. You can very easily rationalize and say, well, they're going after other issues. Well, okay, they very well may be, but you and I know that nothing is as critical. Nothing will be able to bring truth to America about Barack Hussein Obama other than his birth certificate. I would like to say that O'Reilly and Hannity and Beck, Glenn Beck, have sold out. With them, it's just business. It's pure business. And with Glenn Beck, it is pure entertainment. I mean, this fella is into the entertainment aspect of the political genre of news today.
Hey, Hannity, why don't you have Michael Savage on? Just once a year, just one time a year. Just have Michael Savage on one time a year. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it because that's not what they want. They don't want the truth out there. They can't handle the truth. They don't want it out there.
Well, Pastor, yeah, all right, Professor David Manning, Pastor David Manning, thank you very much. That's from his YouTube piece, and he runs a church up in Harlem. It's funny, it goes all the way back to my early days, which I might, for those of you longtime listeners, I told you when I was a young guy trying to find my way, I did a lot of crazy things, and I followed a lot of odd, interesting, crazy people sometimes, to see what it was all about. I remember I saw a street preacher down in the West in the Village called Brother Billy. He was just on a soapbox, but the man was so wrapped up. He was a white guy, and he was hollering. He was screaming, and, you know, a small crowd gathered in Washington Square Park, and I was one of the crowd. Well, he and I struck up a conversation, Brother Billy and I. Before I knew it, I was speeding north on 3rd Avenue in my old green Hornet, my little green Volvo. Volkswagen, little four-on-the-floor Volkswagen before I left New York for good. And we went up to his storefront church. Actually, it wasn't his, to a storefront church in Harlem. And he said to me the way, you want to see religion? You want to see religion? I'll take you the way religion is. You want to see God? I'll take you where you'll see God. You'll feel God. Well, I enjoyed going up there. And I tell you, when I walked into that, it was probably a black Abyssinian church. The people were just hollering, and they were singing. It was so heartfelt that the floors themselves were moving. I said, this is the closest I have come to real worship in my entire life. I've been in synagogues. I've been in churches. I mean, I've gone to St. Patrick's Cathedral on a Christmas Eve to see, like, the highest of the high. I wanted to see a great service. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was stunningly beautiful, but it wasn't moving. It was awe-inspiring, but not moving. This little storefront was moving. And so, as I say, you know, here I am, much older than I was then, and this fellow, Pastor Manning, sounds to me like the real McCoy. And, well, one of these days, if I ever get to New York, I'm going to make a point of trying to go up there and see how the Italian food is in the neighborhood. I hear they have the best veal in the city around there. Jolene in Ohio, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
This is a dream come true. I would like everyone who listens to your show to pray for you on a daily basis for every reason.
Why? Do you fear for my safety?
No, because I pray for you a lot. But I think that you are America's true patriot leader, and you're sticking your neck out there, and you love America.
Well, it's all true, and I do fear for my safety. And my head is on 360 degrees, and luckily, somebody up there likes me, as Rocky Graziano once said, so far, so good. Tomorrow could be another day. Jolene, I got to talk about this for 1 minute. I got to talk about it. I'm not given to paranoid fantasies. I'm reasonably cautious. But after this cancellation of the Cambridge debate, which will be a black mark on their reputation forever, I realize the British government is very dangerous. They will do it almost anything. They will stop at almost nothing to silence me. Do you follow me?
I do, and I have one more question for you.
Well, let me finish. And as a result, I'm starting to get real eerie feelings about my movements here in the United States of America. What else is on your mind, Jolene?
You know, again, just please, everybody, pray for Michael, just because it's just a really, he's a great guy, and you know, when you have somebody good, somebody's always trying to tear him down. Second thing is, have you ever thought about making a video of your Cambridge speech and the people that follow and love you and believe in you to show this, air this in their homes and invite their friends and get this as a groundswell movement to get this out and to educate people by the people who believe in what you're saying? I think it would be a great idea.
I have a lot of things I'd like to do. Maybe that will become one of them. But one of the things I'm going to do, Jolene, is send you a copy of Banned in Britain. We're going to the printer right now. There are only a few hundred copies left of the first printing. You're lucky to get one of them. 1-800-449-8255. Stay on the line. New article, Global Muslim Population, it's 1.57 billion, put out by the radical left-wing Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. The Pew Forum is aptly named because it stinks. Virtually everything that the Pew organization puts out, you need a clothespin in order to look at it. Now, I don't doubt that the number of Muslims in the world stands as somewhere in this number of 1.5 billion. But why would they publish this now? They would publish this to scare you. So you say, wait a minute, 1.5 billion people are Muslim, practicing Islam. Okay, so that means what? 2.5 billion, 3.5 billion are not Muslim? They could have also said that there are 1.1 billion. You know, there are more Christians on earth than there are Muslims, incidentally. They didn't publish that, did they? Instead, they try to scare you again. Wow, there are so many Muslims, you better start listening to Hussein. Wow, there are so many Muslims, you better get a prayer rug. I mean, well, what's the point of this? Great, I'm glad there are that many Muslims. And they're probably more frightened of the radical Muslims than you are, and they should be. Is that so dangerous for me to say? Is it so dangerous for me to say that the average Muslim is more terrified of the radical Muslim than the Christian or the Jew is because they have more to lose and more of them have been killed by the radical Muslims? I have said that before. I have acquaintances who are of Algerian descent. They've told me that more Algerians have been killed by radical Muslims than they're Muslims themselves than Christians. So if you think that the radical Islamic threat is limited to Jews and Christians, you are mistaken. They are just as fanatically hateful of their own people who are not quite as fanatic as they are. So what does this mean, Mr. Pew? Of course, there is no Mr. Pew. There's only Mr. Stink. So Mr. Stink, who is behind Mr. Pew, why do you publish this now?
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Oh, then get me that seafaring music.
One time a year. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it because that's not what they want. They don't want the truth out there. They can't handle the truth. They don't want it out there. Glenn Beck, bring Michael Savage on.
Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Bum, 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 bum,
bum. Life was simpler, wasn't it, at a certain point? When the chrome was thick and the women were straight. That was the America I grew up in. When the chrome was thick and the America was, and the women were straight. Look what we have today. Go take a look around. Go look at the geography of your culture. Take a look at what 25 years of liberalism has done to the American people. Anyway, here we are. We're talking about this and that. And here is a dream I had about President Obama last night that I'd like to share with you if you have a few minutes. It'll be 5, 10, 20 seconds in the making. It's a dream I had about the president, all in good taste. Listen, please.
Well, I should say at the outset that Savage is a friend, so I may be a little biased here. I don't know all the facts, but I think it's fair to say, number one, any of us would be pretty angry. Number two, that Cambridge acted stupidly.
Yeah, he's right. Of course, that's a result of audio shopping, and we apologize to those of you who are offended in advance. It's a dream, as I said to you. And now we're going to play a montage of clips from the British House of Commons back and forth on what real vigorous debate and what a real democracy sounds like. Listen to clip two.
Now, when the debate is held in the country, people will choose our policies and reject theirs.
I tell you what. Find a bit of courage, discover a bit of bottle, get in your car, go down to Buckingham Palace and call that election.
Yeah! I believe that all parties have an interest in sorting this out.
Well, if he feels that strongly, he should come and debate these issues.
Yeah!
What can possibly be more important than that the Prime Minister should be here to debate the issue? Isn't that the kind of leadership we're entitled to?
Yeah! I welcome the debate we're going to have in the country on this. I welcome the debate.
He is treating the British people like fools.
Yeah.
Next, he'll be telling us how much he admires Margaret Thatcher.
Well, that's good stuff. I only wish I could hear some of that here in America. But apparently Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and the others like to do their business the way they grew up doing business, which is in toilets, off highways, and in dark rooms where no one can hear them. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're talking about all sorts of things, okay? Cambridge to hold debate without Savage? Yes, that's the shocker today. Yesterday they sent a letter, and I have the letter in my hand, which I can prove I'm not making this up, because many of you are, rightly so, cynical and doubting Thomas's. It's to my producer, and it said we're canceling the whole event. We have chosen to cancel the event. Today, the lying slime who run this debating society, these children who inherited this enterprise, these 18 to 22-year-old children, went around behind my back and said, we're holding a debate without you. Don't they understand what they've just done to their own reputation? Don't they understand what they've done to the reputation of their own nation? And then they make up a story that it was too expensive, they didn't have the budget for the pieces of equipment, when in fact we have emails which show that they said it would be £5,000 to do it the way they wanted, and my producer said, no, we'll show you a way to do it for about £2,500. Less money. So everything is a lie. The end line here is that they were afraid of having me there because of legal reasons, and what that means is anyone's guess, whether it was the Gordon Brown government leaning on them or their own university lawyers saying you're liable to lose funding. I really don't know, but I won. They lost, I won. So it's one for Savage, zero for the Brits. That's what I say. Fresno, California. Tim, what do you say? You're welcome to the Savage Nation. I'll tell you that.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. You're a light to the world. You are Mr. America. I don't think they wanted to have you there because I think you kind of let the spill the beans. I think that they believe that they're no match for you. I think you chew them up and you spit them out, and I think that you'd shame them. So that just like light dispels darkness, I think you you'd dress them down, and I don't think.
Well, I would have. I certainly would have. I would have held a candle up to the lightness, as they say. One candle in a dark room will light the entire room. And right now, Britain is living in a dark room. They're living in a cave of political correctness. I would have brought one candle. And that one candle would have enlightened the entire room.
Handle the truth.
Tim, thank you very much. Look, I know many of you love me. I do mean it. That's all. What can I say to you? I don't want to make it all about me, okay? I've done all I'm going to do on this. I think I'm going to move past it altogether. I don't want to talk about it. If you do, we'll do it today and a little bit more, and that's it. I won. They lost. They backed out. They chickened out of the fight, and that's the end of it. And well, what I'm going to do for you, though, I don't think it's over in another way. I'm going to come on the air next Thursday, the 15th. I'm going to wear a tuxedo on my soul, and I'm going to read the exact speech that I would have read via video link to Cambridge. It's going to be read on my show, and you can catch it for nothing. You're going to catch it for nothing. It's that simple, okay? Las Vegas, Janet, thank you. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it won't be for nothing. I'm calling to say that I believe that you are by far the most incredibly educated, informed talk show personality I've ever heard. And if it were not for my husband, I never would have listened to you ever. He started quoting you years and years and years ago. We have all your books. We've donated to your legal fund. You have humor. You know more about current events than any periodical I've ever read. And you are on in this house every single day. Our children grew up calling you Fred, and now they're adults, 27 and 24, and now they understand who you are and what you stand for. And you're right, England.
Janet, I wish you were a member of my family. If only you were a relative, it would be great. Then I could go to Thanksgiving dinner again.
You know what? I have to say, I liked reading what you wrote about on your website about Rosh Hashanah and the New Year. I read
The New Year's prayer. That's very, very nice. I think that's quite an important addition to the liturgy, frankly. I think it's a beautifully written piece myself. It's one of my favorite because it's simple. It's not simplistic, but it's simple. And as you know, all good things are very simple or simply stated. They don't have to be complex with multisyllabic words to make sense. You know that.
Sense every single day. My husband laughs. Tears roll down his face. He's in a car now in Chicago attending a memorial service tomorrow for a policeman killed in the line of duty. He's a retired law enforcement from a northwest suburb there. And right now I know he's smiling from ear to ear because he tried calling you yesterday because you talked about going to Ireland, and we're going to Ireland next spring with our son and his wife. And if you're going anytime sooner, we'll go right with you.
Isn't that something? Well, I've got to get through an awful lot of hurdles over the next few months. And I have in the back of my mind, I'm not promising this, I will plan a travel trip to Ireland to deliver a speech, and I will do it. I'm going to invite my listeners along. I mean, actually, the fantasy is to do it on a ship where we book the whole ship, 1,000 people, 1,500 people. We take a cruise. And instead of docking in Southampton, we dock in Ireland. And we go right to the border with England, and we all line up, and we have a magnificent moment of freedom in the sun in Ireland. Isn't that something that we wind up having to go to the Republic of Ireland to speak freely, not to the United Kingdom? Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be amazing. You're incredible.
Well, I've always liked Harp Lager and Irish linen. I bought a piece of Irish linen. It was made in China. It was utterly unbelievable. I bought a cap 2 years ago, and it said, you know, it was like one of the famous labels, like Loran, I don't know what. And it says Irish linen, but if you flip it over, it says made in China. I swear, it's like a trick. Even the label's a trick now. Nothing's authentic. Nothing is real anymore except me. Thanks for the call. God bless you. I'll be back.
Savage.
Union Society was founded in 1815 as a home for free speech and open, balanced debate. The first meeting of the new society was held on the 13th of February, 1815, and weekly meetings for debates on topical subjects were held every week during term. Here in the Union Cellars in 1944, General Eisenhower set up a top-secret headquarters from which he helped plan the D-Day landings that liberated France from Nazi tyranny. Every Thursday during term, the Union welcomes prominent figures from public life to debate important and controversial topics. Last Easter, the Union discussed celebrities' right to privacy, private schools, and the glorification of terrorism, as well as debating the powers of the armed police and Britain's immigration system. Speakers included the Tory MP, Boris
Johnson.
All right,
we heard it. So there is the voice of the Cambridge Union, which I think spells out exactly what went on. We understand he's an American, not a Brit, who went over there. And let us say it was like the taking of Pelham 1-2-3. It was as though San Francisco politics have taken over Cambridge. We now understand why this happened. London, Andrew, welcome to the Savage Nation. Are you calling from London, listening on the Internet?
Yeah, I am, yeah. I'm absolutely astonished that Cambridge Union is using this excuse of technical difficulties when they're clearly worried about the litigation side. I mean, we've in the UK, we always worry that the US has too much litigation. And here we are worrying about being sued for what a man says. I mean, I personally don't agree with everything you say. I'm not a liberal, but I don't agree with everything you say, but I will defend your right to say it.
But I don't understand, how can they be sued for my making statements at all? I don't understand it. They invited me to present my position against political correctness. So within that context, what might I have said that could have been libelous?
Well, in the UK, we have some of the strictest libel laws in the world. And
oh, I know. I've been libeled by Jackie Smith and the Brown administration. I'm very well aware of that. And I'm pursuing a lawsuit against them. But I want to know, what might I have said that could have libeled me?
I can't imagine. But, the only person that gains from all this litigation is the lawyers. They're the ones that...
They're the scum of the earth. You mean that disease of tort law has infected Britain now? The vermin of America have infected your legal system?
Yeah, absolutely. We always thought it was you guys that were obsessed with litigation, but now we're the ones without the free speech. We're the ones that can't say anything without fear of someone watching over us. You know, we have more CCTV cameras looking over us than anywhere else in the world. We're the most watched society.
Are you a student at Cambridge, Andrew?
No, I'm not. I wasn't that intelligent, unfortunately. But I went to.
You mean you were smart enough not to get into Cambridge? In other words, you're a genuinely intelligent person. Well, it's sad. It's a sad day that they would invite me and then sneak out like this, Andrew. I'll tell you what I want to do, Andrew. If you'll be kind enough to stay on the line and give my folks an address, I'm going to send you a free copy of Banned in Britain. It'll be out in a couple of weeks now. The minute it comes in England, I'd like you to give me a call and see if the thought police have knocked on your door. We got a call in now live from Ireland. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Are you live in Ireland?
Yes, I am, Dr. Savage, and I'd just like to say you'd be more than welcome to come over here, and your message will be heard across the water.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, you know something? I just might do it. Tom, are you listening to this program live on the Internet?
Yes, I am. I'm picking it up off one of the affiliate stations.
I think that is utterly amazing. Be very careful that the Brits don't send in a black helicopter to seize your computer.
Indeed, I will have to take precautions. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, they're very good at suppressing the Irish. They didn't do too good a job with the folks in Iraq, did they? They're only good at suppressing their own citizens.
Unfortunately, this turns out to be the case.
It's sickening. It's all because of the rules of engagement. Well, I have some very good Irish friends. I actually have some very good English friends. They're all conservatives. But, Tom, can you explain for my audience how it is that the Republic of Ireland is independent of the United Kingdom while the Northern Ireland is still under the yoke of the United Kingdom? How did that happen?
I know you have a great show and there's a... You have lots of time, but I don't think we have enough time to go into the complete origins of that. But
basically it's because the Republic of Ireland fought for their independence. Is that not right?
Oh, absolutely. Fought and suffered a lot in doing it and now value the freedom so much more.
Amazing. And you really are independent of the United Kingdom. You don't have the same restrictions as they do they?
No. We do have a common base in law, but... Since 1922.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you what. If the Irish government would invite me there, I'll come to Ireland and I'll give my speech before the Irish Parliament, the speech that was banned at the Cambridge Union. And I'd like to set the record straight, and I'd like to clear my name up here. Maybe they'll give me, in Ireland, they'll give me a chance to speak freely.
Your timing would be impeccable because... We do have other issues going on here. It would be a perfect opportunity anytime.
Well, for that, I'd fly in a minute. For that, I'm going to bring 1,000 listeners with me, and I'm going to encourage them to buy Irish linen, not made in China, Irish porcelain, not made in China, and to spend tons and tons of money on Irish goods and hotels and good things like that, and show the Irish people that we respect freedom and we spend freely. That's what we're going to do when we get over there. That's the fantasy. Tom, stay on the line. I will send you as well a free copy of Banned in Britain, which you can proudly show around the pubs of Ireland when it arrives. No, I'm going to send it to you. I want Tom to have it. This is great. I'm having a good time. I mean, you know, I remember when I was a local host, when we would get calls from out of state late at night when the skip signal was picked up. That was such a thrill. Well, now that I'm a national host for 15 years, it's even more thrilling to get international callers. So if you're listening to me as far away as Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Israel, even Russia, call the Savage Nation. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to international, galactic.
Savage.
Here is a story for those of you who are Chicago watchers out of Wausau, Wisconsin. Al Capone's Wisconsin hideout sold for $2.6 million. That's right, Chicago mobster Al Capone, no longer with us, unfortunately not involved in the TARP fraud for his own sake and not involved in the Obamacare scam. But nevertheless, Al Capone's Wisconsin hideout sold for $2.6 million, complete with guard towers and a stone house with 18-inch thick walls, sold to the bank, actually sold to $2.8 million, to the bank that foreclosed on it. Chippewa Valley Bank was the only bidder during a five-minute sheriff sale in the lobby of the county courthouse in Hayward. So there it is, 407-acre wooded site, 150 miles northwest of Wausau in April 08, foreclosed. The minimum bid would have been $2.6 million, sold instead for $2.6 million. And there it is. So there were no bidders. Capone owned the land in the late 1920s and early 1930s during Prohibition. Local legend claims that shipments of bootleg alcohol were flown in on planes that landed on the property's 37-acre lake and were then loaded onto trucks bound for Chicago. The two guard towers on the property reportedly were manned with machine guns whenever Capone visited. Well, that's very, very interesting. Very interesting. Wonder if you make a nice radio studio. 1-800-449-8255, New York City, WOR Joe. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, sir. Yes.
There's a precedent for broadcasting into England from outside of its borders. At the time, Churchill was warning England about the Nazis, and the BBC was trying to stifle him, would give him very little airtime. A good friend of his, Lady Astor, who was super rich and had a huge yacht, had the lettering strung up between the masts of her yacht, "Wake Up England," in huge white electric letters that used to flash. And she would run that in the Thames and sometimes in the church. And it was hated by the Labour Party. But there was nothing they could do. It was up theirs from Lady Astor. And she was, as I say, a close friend of Churchill. So she did the same thing. She let her fellow countrymen know what she thought of them with her money and the white lights.
Look, we're trying to warn Americans that Obama's change is a mixture of socialism and fascism. People are arguing he's a socialist or fascist. What they don't understand is that the pundits don't quite understand either term. The fact of the matter is, if we're even talking about it, we're talking about authoritarianism and totalitarianism. Is that not what we fear about this Obama administration?
Well, absolutely. And we couldn't run Lady Astor's boat in the Hudson River here in New York.
Why? Because of the great Republican mayor?
Yeah.
Is that why? The great Republican mayor of the publishing empire, Mr. Bloomberg. He wouldn't permit such a billboard on the Hudson. Is that right? It might threaten the whitefish.
That's it. And Michael, question I have.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Some of your breaks, and I've noticed this in the past couple of months, and it may be a legal point, but I noticed that the announcer in between disclaims any backing of your statements that they're not those of the station and so forth.
Well, that's a standard thing for almost all hosts, that stations have to disavow any connection to the host's opinion. It's only an opinion. But what would you say Obama's change is? Would you say it's socialism or fascism, or would you say it's neither? Would you say it's just good old American goodness? What do you think this actually is? People fear Obama. You've got to understand they fear him, not because he's a black man, but because he is a radical left winger. Now you say, okay, fine, we know that. Do you know he's actually he was the most radical left-wing senator in American history? Now that he has absolute power, do you think he's suddenly become a centrist? You say, well, thus far he hasn't really done anything that's too dramatically to the left. You're wrong. Take a look at the czars he has placed around himself, and you'll know what's coming in this country. I got to scare you for a little bit, because I'm a student of the worst example of totalitarianism that the last century has to offer in the West. And I have chosen Nazi Germany. I could have chosen Stalin in Russia. I could have gone back and studied the Bolshevik rise to power in Russia, which we could do. But a very interesting comparison could be made to the National Socialists of Germany. And the reason I mention National Socialists is because it's not well understood that Hitler was actually a socialist as well as a nationalist. He tried to create a hybrid between the nationalists who were in the SA, the brown shirts, who were diehard anti-socialists, and they were all nationalists, Ernst Röhm. But there was a whole other part of Germany that was quite capitalist, and those were the industrialists who backed Hitler in the beginning. And he had to placate them in the beginning, the same way this administration is currently placating the bankers and the other large industrialists, if you want to still call them that. So he plays the game of placating the military, send them more troops. He's placating the industrialists who are tolerating him right now, who came out for him. And then he's, you know, I can name several of them. I don't think I have to fill in the blanks. He's placating to a certain extent the socialist base of his party, but not to the extent that you would expect, because it's early on in the administration. It's only been 9 months. So you have a mixture of the nationalists, which we see nothing of here, because Obama is not a national socialist. The one thing he is not a national socialist. He is a socialist through and through. But you say, well, if you say he's a socialist, how can you say he's a socialist when so many capitalists supported him and still do support him? Well, that's because you don't understand that he's on a stepping stone to outright communism by using the industrialists to get him there. He's not really at the pace that he would like to be. He's still in the childhood of his administration. Remember that. He's only just started. There's an infancy, a childhood, an adolescence, and an adulthood. Obama is right now past the infancy of his presidency, taking his first childhood steps. And some people are starting to open their eyes to the threat that Obama poses to the world. That is outside of America, not inside America. Yes, outside of talk radio, where the thought police do not dominate, people are understanding the dangers we may be in. But the fact of the matter is, he wants to run and rule society according to the laws of the socialists that have run and ruined societies in the past. The only question we really have about Obama and his minions are these. How dangerous is he? How far would he really go? What would he really do to those who oppose him should he have absolute power? We don't know how far he would go. We just don't know the depths of the tyranny within the man's soul. We've never tested him. Now, you had fascists in Italy under Benito Mussolini. You had the Nazis in Germany under Adolf Hitler. And the fact is that both of them went through a transitory symbiotic relationship with the corporate strata of each of the two nations in which they first appeared. Let me repeat that. Both the fascist Mussolini and the National Socialist Hitler went through a transitory symbiotic relationship with the corporate business strata in each of their nations in the beginning. Transitory now, okay? In the beginning, they had to do business with the capitalists. You understand that? It was Mussolini who embraced the system of capitalism the most wholeheartedly. He was not really truly anti-capitalist. Hitler, on the other hand, only flirted with capitalism for a few years until his own internal divisions within his own Nazi party, primarily from the nationalist wing of National Socialism, objected to his dancing with who they thought were the devil, which were the capitalists. You understand that? Mussolini was only a populist megalomaniac. He was not truly a racist and a messianic racist. Hitler was a messianic racist. Do you understand that? Mussolini, on the other hand, was a populist megalomaniac, not quite on the same level. He was into nationalism. He reverted to the nostalgia for the glories of the grandeurs of Imperial Rome. We all know that. But it took them time, both of them, to gain total power. And so, along the way, they had a temporary symbiotic alliance with the corporate structure. One to build a Third Reich in Germany, the other to rebuild Imperial Rome, both eventually under fascism themselves. Do you understand that? I'm trying to explain to you that there's a big difference between pure socialism, national socialism, and what we're seeing in America today. And if you think that you're not seeing any of the same elements that were seen in the last century, then you're an ignorant fool. New York City, WOR, Matt, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, yeah, you always talk about, and you just said that history's repeating itself, and, you know, Ahmadinejad may be Hitler reincarnate and whatnot. Who would you consider yourself?
I have no answer to that question. I don't think a man can judge himself in history. I have no idea if I even have a place in history. I'd say I'm a populist writer, a populist broadcaster. I've written 25 books. I've had 15 great years in radio. I don't know what that means historically.
History to know, you know, who I would compare you to. The only thing I know is that, you know, you're one of the only people speaking out for what you feel is right.
Well, I think there are others who speak out. I see it all the time. I read about it all the time. They do it in their own way on different subjects. There's certainly enough people who are trying to hold Obama up to the standards of American decency. I don't know if they're getting anywhere, what with the mainstream media being 98% in the pocket of the Obama administration.
Yeah. Well, what's scary is the czars here. This is some sort of shadow.
The czars are un-American. They should be taken out of business. They should immediately be removed from office. There is no question in my mind, no American president in history has ever appointed czars. Think of the word themselves, czar? The czar? Not appointed? No vetting? Nobody knows who they are? Every one of them, when you turn the rock over under which they came from, they turn out to have written on the glories of communism or socialism? What does that tell you about Obama's long-range goals?
Sounds like a shadow government he's setting up for when he takes control. Power of the
well, oh my goodness, I pray to God every night, I pray to God that it's only paranoia. I swear to God, Matt, and everyone else listening to the show, I got to tell you, every night I have to say to myself, let's put aside all the rhetoric, let's put aside all of the theatrics, and let me analyze for myself just exactly where is Obama coming from and where does he want to take this country. Now, you could say on one hand, your worst fears have never materialized in your life. Why should you think that your worst fears about Obama will materialize? Well, I'll answer that question. Because often it is not the individual in power who you have to fear, it's the people around him who you have to fear. He himself may be just a mainstream, good-natured leftist who wants to do good for the most number of people. That's possible. But if you look at some of the absolutely dark-hearted individuals who he has put in as czars, the dark-hearted people behind him in Chicago, you should be frightened to the core of your being. That's what I come to. That is my absolute opinion. And the reason I think that we should fear this is because there is no counterstroke going on from the Republicans. Do you remember that when Bush was in power, virtually every day there was criticism by the mainstream media or by the Democrats? Every time Bush said something, did something, if he burped, there was a response by one of the Democrats. Right now, we don't have a two-party system. We've had a very tepid two-party system for a good 30 years now. But right now, we simply have a one-party system, which I have named Republicrats or Democrats in 1994. We have a Republicrat system. It's two sides of the same coin, with rare exception. I mean, Senator DeMint comes to mind. Congressman King comes to mind. There are exceptional individuals who truly still carry the banner of American freedoms. I understand that. But they're so insignificant in number and in power that I say we have a one-party system. And whereas under George Bush, virtually every statement, every act, every law, every bill, every movement, every dinner, every piece of fish that he ate, there was a counter comment by one of the Democrats in the media or in the Congress. With Obama, there's virtually no response other than the man is great and is being picked on by the evil right-wing conspiracy. So given that this is the toxic stew in which we find ourselves, I think that you should be very worried indeed. But again, it's only one man's opinion. So forgive me if you disagree with me. Thank you. I'll be back. Savage. Direct the following comments to the Christian audience that listens to this show. I don't know how large it is or how small it is, and to the very small Jewish audience that listens to this show, and I know it's very small, in that 90% or more of Jewish people are liberals. They don't listen to this show. The only Jews who are not liberal are either very Orthodox or independent and not religious in some regard, usually business people. So the largest percentage of religious people who listen to my program happen to be Christian. I want you to understand what you already know, and that is that socialism of any variety is incompatible with Christianity or religion in general. In fact, socialism is at loggerheads with religion. You have to understand the origins of what I am saying to you. If you are a religious person, make no mistake about it. In the long run, socialism will be out to destroy your religion and your religious beliefs. They've been doing it in any case for 30 years. All these attacks on the church, no matter what variety they are, have all come from the socialist left. It started with the molestation lawsuits, which has almost destroyed the Catholic Church. Now, rightly, there were abuses within the church, but I think it's quite ironic that the church would almost be destroyed because of this, if you understand the drift of where I'm coming from, in the sense that that behavior itself is not frowned upon by the very people who were suing the church to any extent, if you can put two and two together there. But the important thing for you to understand is that in the beginning, we'll go back again to Hitler. Hitler had a transitory period before he had total power. During the transitory period, he was a collaborator with the international bankers, the international businessmen. He was a collaborator with the hardcore nationalists who were opposed to socialism of any kind, and they would fight with each other. But he was also in great collaboration with the Catholic Church in the beginning. They, of course, were afraid of him, and he tried to allay their fears. And in the beginning, he did not do any harm to the Catholic Church. He did not harm the Pope. He did not harm the priests and the nuns in the beginning. And so he gained the Catholic vote in the beginning. But as time went on, the Nazis showed their true character even more clearly. It manifested more clearly as time went on. And so we don't know exactly where the socialism that is now rampant in America will end up. We have no idea whether it's a rather benign, mild Fabian socialism, which I've described over the last 3 years, perhaps five times. It will soon be copied by one of the illiterates in the media and make it sound as though I actually know what they're talking about. I think I am the first conservative, by the way, in talk radio to have talked about socialism at least 10 years ago, long before the high school dropout started talking about it. Long before any of them talked about it, I was explaining to you what socialism was. I explained to you that Bush was a fiscal socialist well over a year ago, over a year and a half ago now, actually almost 2 years ago. I said Bush is a fiscal socialist. I kept saying that to you because I saw what Bush was doing. Well, now we have another situation, and we really don't know where it ends. We haven't any idea where this ends. We don't know where it ends. But I have in my hand a paper that just arrived that was written by Friedrich von Hayek in the spring of 1933. And Friedrich von Hayek wrote this as Nazism was unfolding in Germany in 1933. Remember, he was there. He watched it happen. And he says this. He said, the famous 25 points drawn up by Herr Fetter, one of Hitler's early allies, repeatedly endorsed by Hitler and recognized by the bylaws of the National Socialist Party as the immutable basis of all its actions are as follows. The ideas resemble those of the early socialists. But the dominant feature is a hatred of anything capitalistic, individualistic profit-seeking, large-scale enterprise, banks, joint stock companies, department stores, international finance and loan capital, the system of interest in general. And that's those are the economic policies of Hitler in the early days. To be continued.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I thought I'd play for you the complete interview I did earlier today by telephone with James Dellingpole with the Telegraph UK. You're not going to believe what he has to say about what liberals have done to England in the last 8 years.
Hi there. Thanks for calling.
Hey.
Well, thanks for bothering. At least you're one person on the island not afraid to talk to the evil man.
Yeah, the evil Dr. Savage.
The evil Dr. Savage. It's amazing to me, my friend. I have their letter in my hand. It is with great regret to inform you of the difficult decision we have taken to cancel the event. It didn't say cancel you. Now they say they're having the event without me. Have you seen the letter to my producer from Julian Demirk and Jonathan Lawrence of yesterday?
I haven't seen their letter, no.
Well, we have to send you their letter because it's very duplicitous what they're doing. Their letter is very clear. We canceled the event. And we've come to the reluctant conclusion that the event cannot proceed. They didn't say that we're not proceeding with your connection, but they said the event. Now today they're reversing themselves and saying they're continuing the event, but they're doing it without me.
Why? They're talking about, they've thrown out this smoke screen, haven't they, of all sorts of reasons. They said that it was for money. We've established that is the reason.
No, we even tried to accommodate them by offering a cheaper solution than the one they suggested.
Yeah.
That's the first issue. But the second issue is their own letter kind of damns them and proves them to be liars. I mean, to be very blunt with you, this is sickening. I've admired the British people since I've been a child. I quote Winston Churchill. I play his speeches on my program over and over again. It's amazing to me that these kids don't realize what they've done to their own organization with this. They can't hide from their own letters. They say in their own letter that they've canceled for legal reasons.
I mean, has anyone even tried to, anyone who knows about the law, even tried to suggest what the legal problem would be if it existed?
We have consulted with our counsel, and listen, we have reconsulted with our counsel, they say in yesterday's letter. Not consulted, reconsulted, which indicates that they've been talking with him for quite a while and been informed that there are numerous legal issues with Dr. Savage speaking here. So we come to the reluctant conclusion that the event cannot proceed. All the best for the future. Then we wake up this morning and go on their website and find out that they are, in fact, proceeding. This is not the mark of a democracy at work, is it? Something's wrong with this picture.
As you're probably aware, we've just been living for the last 12 years under a socialist regime. And in a way, what's coming to your country now?
Well, I'm glad you said that because Churchill warned us in 1945, didn't he, that socialists cannot take criticism of any kind. And we're living through this. I don't know how you folks take this.
I'll tell you what, it gets more and more depressing as well. Because although we've lived through this 12 years of socialism light, although it gets heavier by the day, you would think, would you not, that after all this time, the Conservatives would provide a decent opposition. But actually what happens is you end up getting, I think what you in America call Me Too Republicans. You know, so they say, well, we're going to enact the same nice social policies, we're just going to do them a bit more efficiently. Well, it's not good enough. I mean, socialism is the enemy.
I agree with you.
It's interesting. I think people on both sides of the Atlantic, but I think particularly this side, I think we're much worse than you are, because I still see quite a robust right, you know, the Tea Parties and stuff. People still understand first principles in America. But I tell you, over here, if you came over here, if you were allowed to come over here, you would see they can't get used to the idea that maybe government is not the answer to their problems. Government is actually the problem in itself.
Well, Mr. Dellingpole, I cannot go to Britain, but I was very honored when Cambridge invited me to speak and to defend basically not only my own honor, because really they've condemned an innocent man, but also to defend the principle of free speech in general under the big umbrella of political, you know, fighting against political correctness. But for them to have canceled this under the pretext of a technical this and all of that, and then in the same letter saying in the big paragraph that it's for legal reasons, and then today proceed after saying they were not proceeding, these are duplicitous kids. And they inherited, do they understand what they inherited in the Cambridge Union?
When were you last in Britain?
The last I was in Britain, when a very dear friend of mine, his wife passed away, it must be 1989 or so.
Yeah.
And
what do you remember of it?
I've always loved going to London. I've always found it to be a dynamic, exciting city. I love the British people. I used to comment on the can-do attitude that I saw, but that was a long time ago. I mean, they always had that that cheery, chin-up, can-do attitude. I love that attitude about the British. I don't know if it's still there. You're listening to an interview I did by phone earlier today with James Dellingpole with thetelegraph.uk.
Well, I wonder whether, you know, I think it's a shame you can't come here, because I think you'd be interested now to see what's happened when you've been run by socialists for 12 years. I mean, it is extraordinary, you know. The stories that would make your eyes water that you hear about, you know, the government poking its nose into every nook and cranny of your private life. It is quite extraordinary. You know, we have inside our dustbins now in certain boroughs, we have these spying devices to check that you're not disposing of your rubbish incorrectly.
Oh, come on, really?
I absolutely swear to you. We had the other day two policewomen, each of them single mothers, which you know they had their children to look after, and they took turns to look after each other's children when they were doing shifts. And they had an inspector from the authorities come round saying, "You cannot do that. You are not the registered childminder."
Oh my God! Isn't that crazy?
The license to look after a child for more than 2 hours per day. You know, this is what goes on in Britain now. This is what you've got to look forward to, mate, in America.
Oh, we know it. We can feel it with Barry's administration over here. We know who his minions, who are in his minions. We've studied them, and we see what's coming unless the people are awakened rather rapidly. But, Mr. Dellingpole, I have to go back to the Cambridge debate for one moment, because it's one thing for them to cancel the debate, even for legal reasons, and say that they did so in a letter to me, and the next day turn around and say we're holding the event, but without you, and they expect us to believe a word of anything they say? I'm going to send you in fact, my producer should email you the letter immediately while we're speaking.
That would be good. I'd like to see it. I mean, you know, it sounds to me, you know what it's like when you sort of, they've obviously decided for whatever reason that they wanted to knife you, and they're coming up with all these excuses, you know, to save face as much as anything. I mean, I spoke to you after I got Beowulf's email this afternoon. I said, look, you've told me that that you know they were making too many demands about the expense of the equipment, and now I've just had this email back from Dr. Savage's people telling me this. I said, what do you say to it? And they said, well, yes, that's true, that the £5,000 we quoted was for the whole costs, and yes, we know it's been a very difficult decision, and there was no outside pressure exerted on us. Now, I do kind of believe that. I think there probably wasn't, you know, I know you suspect that there may have been government involvement. Let me tell you, this government is so falling to pieces now.
Who do they mean by our counsel? They mean at Cambridge?
Well, I think people sort of cite the lawyers sometimes to make it sound more official. And I think what you probably have much more likely is kind of students who don't know what the hell they're doing. I pressed them on this. I said, look, what are your legal reasons? What, you can't explain this to me.
Yes.
And he said, look, I'm sorry, we were really busy. And
but wait, he had the time to talk with you about the Polycom and the technical problems, but he had no time the minute you raised the issues that he raised, which are the legal issues. So I don't believe a word that these guys are saying. Look, I truly believe that something, somebody, some people either in the Brown regime or inside the university connected to the Brown administration feared that I might, frankly, run them off the highway with their lies. And I wanted to know, what do they wish to hide? Do they want to hide what they actually did to an innocent American broadcaster? We have emails from the Brown administration saying, one of them even says he has never incited violence. And the other one says in the email chain, nevertheless, we want to include him on the list. The PM wants this. It's in there. We need his name on the list to balance the list. To balance the list.
Did it actually mention the Prime Minister?
Yes. Yes, they do it by initial. The PM, if I'm not mistaken. Wait, stop it there. We'll come right back to my interview with James Dellingpole on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You're listening to an interview I did by phone earlier today with James Dellingpole with thetelegraph.uk. We had my lawyers, Olswang, found these in Discovery. In the entire email chain, this is a story that needs to be told. That this went all the way up to the high, it went all to the highest level.
Because I knew that the reason you were put on the list. I mean, I'd seen some of the memos that you found under the Freedom of Information Act, where they, you know, it was quite clear that someone, you know, had put you on the list to balance out the, you know, the Muslims on the list.
Right.
But I didn't realize it went as high as the PM.
Well, that's what we saw. Either it was the FM or the PM or both. Foreign Minister, Prime Minister. But one or both of them were by initial mentioned.
Has that element been published in the English press?
No. Absolutely. And you want to hear something bizarre? When this first occurred, I was swarmed by the BBC, Sky News, and all the others for interviews. And even though we told them the Cambridge debate had been canceled, not one organization called for my side of the thing except yourself. They're very dangerous for hiding their own activities and lying about them and not understanding that we just caught them again. And through Discovery, he found the entire email chain, which includes that reference to one of the minions of the administration saying, but wait a minute. This guy never caused any violence, never provoked it. The other one says, yeah, we know that, but either the foreign minister or the prime minister wants this kind of wants this type on the list. That's what he said. Now, is that a code word for something that I don't know about in British speak?
Well, no, it's not. I think it's just simply a euphemism for they wanted somebody who wasn't a Muslim, basically.
To balance the list.
We all thought so at the time. We all thought this was absolutely balmy. I think, even in the liberal press, I don't think anyone. You had letters of support in the Guardian, didn't you?
Totally. Yes. And when they ran a poll, it was 80-20 saying, you know, Savage doesn't belong in that list. I mean, I want to conclude with something that people don't understand. My name is now linked with murderers and terrorists. Never mind people with volatile speech. They linked me with a man, a Hamas man, who was in prison for 9 years in Israel for killing two parents, then finding their hidden baby, pulling her out of a crawl space, and smashing in her head with a rifle butt. What in the world does a talk show host have to do with any of that?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Yeah. What would happen if you came over here?
Well, I would suppose they'd stop me at the border. I mean, stop me at the airport, turn me away. But I have a plan up my sleeve. I'm getting really angry. You know, I could go to the Republic of Ireland, couldn't I?
Yeah, it's a different country, yeah.
And go to the border and hold a monster press conference with 1,000 listeners who fly in with me, filling two airplanes. And then get some of the Irish with beer mugs. We could just have a great time. And hold our debate with loudspeakers across the border like the old Iron Curtain.
Are you going to do that?
Well, when the time is right, I'm threatening to do it. I had listeners cancel visits to England. I had one listener, and we have his letter, which we can send it to you. He canceled $10 million in orders of machinery made in Britain for his bakery because he feels so strongly, he's an immigrant, about freedom of speech. He was so appalled that he canceled factory orders of $10 million worth of factory orders from a British factory. People don't understand this is having ramification without my provoking it. Although I can't, apparently I can't travel to Britain. Apparently my video image can't appear in Britain. I wonder, will they burn my book banned in Britain when it arrives on the shores of your nation?
No, they won't.
Are you sure Fahrenheit 451, it won't be operational?
I'm sure it'll be. I mean, there may be a ban on Michael Savage, but there's no ban on Michael Savage's books coming over.
I don't know. After all, these are the snoops. Incidentally, you would think a British publisher would be interested in the rights, wouldn't you? Because, after all, there's a lot of interest in this subject. I haven't heard from any of them. So you say things have shifted in your country. Fox News has moved to where CNN was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you watch it. They've got guys on there who are absolute liberals, like this guy Shep Smith came out the other day in favor of Obamacare, right on the Fox News network, arguing with a Republican senator saying it would be wonderful, a public option. So they're moving rapidly to the other side. In order to accommodate what they think is a moving tide, but they're wrong. Every poll in America shows us that conservatives are in the majority in every state of America. Every poll that's just come out. The only difference is the media, and as you know, the politicians are on the other side of the aisle. Well, I don't know. It's a terrible situation right now, and I'm very sad that the Cambridge Union would give themselves such a black eye, because this will be remembered. They have to remember what they did here. Future generations, should there still be freedom of speech in your country 50 years from now, and I pray there is, they're going to look back on this and say, how did that generation let themselves be led into that position to ban a man from speaking that they had invited under the guise of technical difficulties?
We can just pray that this is the... I mean, it is. Have you seen that film Downfall about the last days of Hitler? Gordon Brown is like Hitler in Downfall in his bunker. He's falling to pieces. He's screaming at people. His whole government is in disarray. People don't want to be in his cabinet anymore because he's just such a nutcase.
Oh, really? Oh, it's down to that? It's him and Eva Braun, huh?
Oh, it's absolutely.
Well, look, on that terrible note, I think we better stop.
It's really been good talking to you, Dr. Savage.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, there are a few people in the mainstream media talking about being banned in Britain and what it means to you. Jeff Kuhner is one of them, and he joins us now with his opinion on this crazy situation.
Well, Michael, the dirty deed has been done. The Cambridge Union Society, one of the most prestigious debating societies in all of Britain, has now revoked and rescinded their invitation to you to come and appear at a prominent debate on October 15th. To discuss political correctness. Frankly, my friend, I am thoroughly disgusted, and I believe that the Cambridge Union should be ashamed of themselves. Because what they have done here, Michael, is they have now exposed themselves, along with the British government, with Gordon Brown's liberal left government, to be nothing more than frauds and phonies, who pretend to adhere to democratic values, but in fact are no better than totalitarian thugs who know nothing more than to censor and muzzle free speech and freedom of expression. And my question to the people at the Cambridge Union is a very simple one. What are you afraid of? What is it about Michael Savage that so scares you that your lawyers, according to your letter to Dr. Savage, your lawyers say that there are legal issues at stake that prevent Dr. Savage not even from entering the United Kingdom, but from speaking via video link. This is to me what is stunning and almost unbelievable. How is it that one of the most popular radio talk show hosts in America, where he is heard by nearly 10 million people across this great land, where people in England, if they want, can go and log on to the internet to many, the hundreds and hundreds of radio stations that carry Dr. Savage, and they can hear him via internet streaming. So how dangerous can he be? If the British people really want to listen to Dr. Savage, they can. But more than that, Michael, this shows the unbelievable hypocrisy and totalitarianism at the heart of the modern left. Because the modern left, for the last three decades, all you hear, both in England and in America, is how they champion diversity, how they champion tolerance, how they champion multiculturalism. Everybody and everything is equal. Nobody is superior to anybody. We're open to all points of view. And yet when it comes to your principled patriotic conservatism, where you champion the defense of language, borders, and culture, suddenly now that is beyond the pale. Suddenly now that is a danger to public safety and public order. What the British government is doing, Michael, to me it is as plain as day, is they are trying now to delegitimize and criminalize conservative thought. This is now an attempt to marginalize prominent conservatives, and especially conservatives like you, who are articulate, vocal, aggressive, and are willing to challenge the powers that be. And Michael, here is what I believe is your fundamental sin in the eyes of the politically correct liberal establishment, the thugs that now run the British government. Your big sin in their eyes is that you have stood up to the forces of Islamic fascism and radical Islam. You, more than any other talk show host in America, have said we are in a war, an ideological struggle to the finish, between those that want to destroy Western civilization and everything we hold dear, and those of us who now want to defend it to the death. And what they are now trying to do, Michael, is the British government is now nakedly trying to placate and appease the growing Muslim lobby within Britain. Michael, I have a major column coming out this Sunday on this very issue. I urge all of your listeners to please go to the Sunday edition of the Washington Times online. In the commentary section under Kuhner, K-U-H-N-E-R, I will have a piece on this very issue where I document blow by blow the reasons why the British government has been gunning after you and targeting you. And in particular, Michael, what is now growing within the midst of the bosom of the British heartland is a form of radical Islam that is now slowly spreading across the land of Shakespeare and the land of the Magna Carta. It is rearing its ugly head in Paris, in Berlin, in Milan, but it is in Manchester and in London where it is now gathering the most strength, where it is now getting more and more dangerous day by day. If you go to the streets of East London, you will see radical Muslim imams and preachers from their mosques and right on the public square and on the streets call for jihad and the imposition of Sharia law. They denounce Christians and Jews as pigs and monkeys. They call for the victory of radical terrorists and Islamists in Afghanistan and Iraq against American and British troops. They call for a world Muslim empire. And my question to the British government is the most fundamental question of all. If you are so concerned about curbing extremism that you have to put up this phony blacklist to put a man who has never committed a crime in his life, who has never advocated or incited or called for violence, on a blacklist with known Hamas terrorists and Russian skinheads who have murdered over 10 illegal immigrants. If you are that frightening to them, if they are so concerned about curbing extremism, why do they not look closer to home? And let me, Michael, just give you one example. Here is an exclusive to the Savage Nation, and you could read more about it in my column in Sunday's The Washington Times. There is a man in Britain by the name of Ajiman Choudhary. He is the leader of one of England's most vocal and dangerous Islamist groups. Mr. Choudhary, in June of 2009, just several months ago, in public in London's Red Lion Square, where many pro-democracy rallies have been held over the last several decades, gave an inflammatory speech to all of his Islamist supporters. And in that speech, Michael, he explicitly said to the British people and to all British Muslims, "My brothers," he said, "the future is now ours. Within several generations, we will become the majority within England. We will now dominate its courts, its schools, its hospitals, and its government. We are now reproducing, as Choudhary said, 8 times the rate of the native English population. They are infidels and the kafir, as he called them. And their days are numbered. And when we come to power, we will pass Sharia law, Allah willing. And we are now at war with British society and with the West. To our friends and allies in the Middle East, in particular in Iran and Afghanistan, I urge you to wage holy war. It is your duty as Muslims to wage jihad. I am also telling you that if you kill innocents, the innocents are only the infidel. Only Muslims cannot be killed. They are the only ones that are considered innocents. But Christians and Jews and non-Muslims are not innocents. They are the ones that we can kill at random." And then he gave a warning to the United States. "Once we come and have conquered Britain and we have conquered Europe, we are coming for you in America." This was said in public in London. This is a man who has over the years explicitly, both in his speech and in his writings, called for terrorism, for jihad, including the murder not only of Jews, but even of Pope Benedict XVI himself. And yet, why is the British government not banning him? Why is the British government not deported him? How come he's not a threat to Britain's public order and safety? Why is he not charged, as the Home Office charged you, with, quote, inciting hatred and intercommunity violence? This is a man who is deliberately, premeditatedly, systematically calling for violence, mass murder, and terrorist actions to be committed on British soil and on American soil. And yet they do nothing about him. But you, they hound. You, they persecute. Shame on them. And Michael, let me just say this to you now directly and to everybody out there in the Savage Nation. This revocation by the Cambridge Union Society and this ban against you by the British government represents a fundamental assault on freedom of speech and freedom of expression and freedom of the press. This is an assault not only upon you, but upon the very core and fabric of our democracy here in America. Because today they are coming after you. But tomorrow it may be you, it may be me, it may be everybody out there in the Savage Nation. We are now appeasing a radical Islamic monster that is slowly but surely devouring everything in its path. And by sacrificing you at the altar of multicultural diversity, at the altar of political correctness, the British government believes they can satisfy its appetite, but its appetite is limitless. And soon, radical Islam will continue its march. And my friends, unless we stand up and defend Michael Savage right here and now and put our line in the sand and say here and no further, you are guests in our home. You must abide by our rules, our values, our traditions. And the very core of that is freedom. If you are now targeting a member of the press for the only sin of speaking his mind, then you have now become an enemy of our civilization. Either you assimilate to our way of life or get lost. It is really that simple. To every conservative in the United States, I now urge you to rally around Michael Savage. His struggle is our struggle. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times. Please go and read my column in Sunday's Washington Times. We need all of your support to defend Dr. Savage. Go into the paper on the website, punch in K-U-H-N-E-R, and you can read the column. Please, everybody out there, support Michael. Now is the time for us to stand together, because if we do not stand together, we will certainly hang separately. God bless you, Michael. Take care, my friend.
Thanks for the report, Jeff.
Savage.
I spoke to James Dellingpole, and he made an amazing point about free speech in England.
As you're probably aware, we've just been living for the last 12 years under a socialist regime, and in a way, what's coming to your country now?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because Churchill warned us in 1945, didn't he, that socialists cannot take criticism of any kind. And we're living through this. I don't know how you folks take this.
I'll tell you what, it gets more and more depressing as well, because although we've lived through this 12 years of socialism light, although it gets heavier by the day, you would think, would you not, that after all this time, the Conservatives would provide a decent opposition. But actually what happens is you end up getting, I think what you in America call Me Too Republicans, you know, so they say, well, we're going to enact the same nice social policies, we're just going to do them a bit more efficiently. Well, it's not good enough. I mean, socialism is the enemy.
I agree with you. George Bush was a crypto-socialist for many years. In the last year of his regime, he was a fiscal socialist, and I called him that a year out. People didn't like it. I lost a lot of my listeners, but it turned out I was 100% right. And so I've called this a one-party system in America ever since I began in 1994, and I didn't do it for effect. I saw a Democrat or Republican party, whichever way you cut it. Well, and guess what else he had to say?
Over here, if you came over here, if you were allowed to come over here, you would see what's happened. People have the state, and they can't get used to the idea that maybe government is not the answer to their problems. Government is actually the problem in itself.
Well, Mr. Dellingpole, I cannot go to Britain, but I was very honored when Cambridge invited me to speak and to defend, basically, not only my own honor, because really they've condemned an innocent man, but also to defend the principle of free speech in general under the big umbrella of political, you know, fighting against political correctness. But for them to have canceled this under the pretext of a technical this and all of that, and then in the same letter saying in the big paragraph that it's for legal reasons, and then today proceed after saying they were not proceeding, these are duplicitous kids. And they inherited – do they understand what they inherited in the Cambridge Union? Do they have any idea what blood has been shed for them to have that freedom at Cambridge? Do they have any idea what they've just done to their own reputation?
Yeah, I doubt they do. I doubt it's even occurred to them.
Yeah, doubt it's even occurred to them. That's exactly the truth. From the Battle of Britain to bubblegum on Piccadilly or something. Okay, moving on. I actually took a great picture of myself next to Robert Louis Stevenson's tomb. Talk about a tourist with a snapshot. I'm not embarrassed to tell you. Now, that's a picture. Robert Louis Stevenson, the great writer, was so enamored of the islands in the South Seas that years, I'm talking 30 years ago, 20 years ago, when I used to collect plants, I made a trek to his tomb. I think it's in Apia, Western Samoa. I'm not sure. I forget. Pango, I don't know where it is. I forget, on top of a mountain. Again, I climbed, schlepped up a mountain, and it was full of graffiti, the tomb. All right, but I tried to block the graffiti. I laid on top of the tomb, took a picture. In a kind of, you know, Gorgon-esque pose, which will go nice in my autobiography, if I could find it in the archives. Again, who did I take the picture for? What do I know? It was a nice picture. It reminded me of the time when I was a youth and I did my big trip to Europe. Remember I told you that story? I never forget to this day, M.V. Waterman. I was in college and I wanted a trip to Europe, saved up the money, so I went with a couple of friends on the M.V. Waterman. Now, this was, to this day, I remember the fun of that ship. It was an ex-troop transport. A real scow, slow as can be, and it went from New York to Southampton in 10 days at that time. All college kids. And what we try to do on the ship in those 10 days is what they do in colleges now, 24 hours a day. In those days, it took you a while. You had to meet someone and talk. You had to make believe you were smart and sensitive. you know, today, no, like animals, like goats in a stall they lay down. They don't even know each other. They don't care if you're sensitive. The fact, if you're sensitive, they like to throw you overboard. In fact, if you're sensitive, you wouldn't even look at a girl today at all. You don't even have a chance of you. But 10 days, that's all we did. And stayed up all night partying and slept all day. That's where I met the old blind man. I told you about that. What's the meaning of life? I told you that story already. Where was I talking about? What was I talking about going to Europe? Oh, so I get to Europe and do the tour. And one of the things I wanted to do was go to the Vatican. It was like a big deal. Oh, I'm going to go to the Vatican. So I get to the Vatican, go, you know, Rome, try the pizza, garbage. Pizza in New York is 1,000 times better. The Italian food in New York is better than in Rome. I couldn't believe it. The Italian food in New York was better than in Rome. I couldn't believe that part of it. Maybe I was poor. Okay, I admit. But that's how I judge a city, is how good the food is for the poor in the restaurants, not for the rich, because, you know, you can tell a lot about basic food in a restaurant that's not fancy. That's where the real food is made anyway, not without the fake sauces and the whatever. I get to the Vatican, and I climb an interior stairwell, and I climb this labyrinth. I think I still have nightmares to this day that I'm trapped in this wooden staircase that goes around and around and around. I'm trying to get to the top of the Vatican. I don't know why. It was like an obsession. I get to the top of the Vatican. There's Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, 7-Up, Bouvet on top of it. I looked at it. You know, I was like into that anti-materialist phase of my life, not exactly the sufferings of young Werther. But I said, oh, my God, this is horrible. So what else? What else is new under the sun? Tell me what else is new under the sun. You got to make a buck. What, you don't know that yet? You think everything is free? You're so great you don't want to work for a living, like half of the bums in San Francisco who write books nobody reads or write in their journals and live off their mother or their father, deceased parents' money? Oh, they're all authors, but they're too good to make a buck writing a living. Their books don't sell a nickel, but they're geniuses. They all keep a journal and this and that. No one reads it because they're too pure. They're all pure. They're all better than everybody else. So I'm just letting it all hang out, that's all, just talking amongst friends, just as though you're in the room with me in a cafe having a conversation with millions of personal buddies of Michael Savage.
Savage.